Today's episode of the Random Variety Show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download of your choice at audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow. With over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now, on with the show. This is Sir Reginald Johnson Walker V, and you're listening to the Random Variety Show podcast, Season 2, Episode Number 2. That's right, it's time for the Random Variety Show podcast with Charlie Miller. Hey, hey, that's me! The only bi-weekly podcast that's random, has variety, and is a show. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to another great episode of the Random Variety Show podcast. We got a great show lined up today. Our guest is the band Truth and the Lies from Orange County, California, Riverside, California. They sat down with Groucho, shared some songs, shared some stories, had some laughs. It was a great time was had by all. But more about that later. But for now, let's talk about how you can find us on the web. The website's randomvarietyshow.com. It's the only website there is, the only website you need to know. You can find links to our sponsors, Amazon and Audible. You can find links to our Twitter, our Facebook, our Google+. You can find a link to our iTunes. Hey, if you use iTunes, do us a favor. Give us a five-star rating, hopefully five-star rating. And a little comment, let us know how we're doing. You can also find a link to Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio, if you're not familiar with it, it is taking over the way that internet radio is listened to. It is an amazing application for the iPhone, Android, Kindle. You can listen right from the website. It's awesome. It can be found in the Sonos system, which is a home and office sound system. It can also be found in some dashboards of brand new GM, Ford, and BMW cars. So it's keep an eye out for Stitcher Radio. It's taking over the world. You also find our voicemail number, 619-407-8770. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. Search us out on Instagram, Random Variety Show. You can listen to us on the Blueberry Network, the Blackberry Podcasts Network, the PodGodsNetwork.com, and WQ4DRadio.com every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern at WQ4DRadio.com. You can send us an email, the Random Variety Show Podcast at gmail.com. But like I said, everything can be found at randomvarietyshow.com. Moving right along into
random segment.
Ah, the random segment, yes. Oh, wow. Well, the last 2 weeks have been interesting in the sense that I'm just trying to find time to record my little spots like this, the random segment and all the little go-betweens between all the segments and such. And it has been a challenge because Drew is now 4 months old and he is, you know, starting to make sounds, starting to learn how to form, I don't want to say words, but he's at that learning phase of making words and sounds and things like that. So trying to find time when he's not too chattery is challenging. Plus, the last few days outside my apartment, they've been working on the road. So they're repaving it. So they're scraping up the old asphalt and jackhammering and breaking things up. And oh, it's constant noise from about 7 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, till about 4:30, 5 o'clock at night. It's, well, 3:30, 4 o'clock. So nap time for him has not been really good. Nap time for me has not been really good. And just trying to find time to record when there's not a lot of background noise is also challenging. Right now, Drew is sitting in my lap, and we're just enjoying one another. He's watching television without sound in the background, and listening to me, and just enjoying himself. Isn't that right? Of course, now that I want him to say a chattering noise, he won't. But hey, that's the luck of the draw for kids. So needless to say, trying to find some, we'll say, quiet time, and I don't mean quiet time to take a nap, just quiet time to be able to record for you guys, has been the biggest challenge in these last 2 weeks, and that's the randomness of this segment.
This is Rebecca Subert Miller, reminding you that there is no need to RSVP for the RVSP. Just subscribe on iTunes.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. That was our guest from episode 21. You can go to randomvarietyshow.com or iTunes and listen to that episode.
Hey, this is Brian.
This is Tony.
And we're the Salty Language Podcast.
You betcha.
Part of the Pod Gods Network.
Yep. Find all our goodness at saltylanguage.com.
Right, or on podgodsnetwork.com.
Exactly.
Our podcast, we cover all sorts of stuff. Weird news, geek news, movies.
Sexy time.
Comic books. Yeah, basically, we're two guys who've been friends for like 1,000 years.
Yeah, we make fun of everything and everybody. Nobody's safe.
Yep. So if you're into that kind of thing, you know, we're definitely a not safe for work podcast. So, if, you know, if you like funny, you like silly, all that kind of stuff, you know, give us a listen.
Oh, for sure.
Again, you know, that's saltylanguage.com.
Right on.
Podgodsnetwork.com.
Have a beer, you'll be fine?
Yep.
You betcha.
We out.
It's time for Groucho's Corner on the Random Variety Show. Now, if you're tuning in for the very first time, thank you so much for downloading and listening. But I highly suggest that you go back to the archives, randomvarietyshow.com or iTunes, and listen to either the prequel episode, episode 00, or the first anniversary show, the first episode of season 2, to find out why Groucho Marx is helping me on my podcast. But in a nutshell, basically, I was looking for people to interview on the internet. I stumbled across the disembodied voice of Groucho Marx, who graciously decided to help me with my podcast. Now, today's guest is a band called Truth and the Lies. They are a great bunch of guys from Orange County, Riverside area, California. They share some songs, they share some wonderful stories, and I want to say up front, before we even get to the interview, guys, thank you so much for your patience, because this got recorded back in October of 2012, and then due to Drew and the holidays and other guests and just the evolution of my podcast is the best way I can say it, they are now being our guests on Season 2, Episode 2. So guys, thank you so much for your patience. I really, really do appreciate it. So, without any further introduction, Groucho, guys, take it away.
Hello, and welcome to Groucho's Corner on the Random Variety Show podcast. Today we have the band Truth and the Lies. Gentlemen, welcome to the show, and why don't you go around and introduce yourselves so our audience can get used to your voices.
I'm JT Reyes.
I'm Chris Gates.
I'm Brett Keith.
And I'm Joe Berry.
We are Truth and the Lies.
Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome, welcome. Now, the first thing I always ask people that are musicians or bands when they come on the show is, how did your love of music start? Everybody starts with, you know, picking up an instrument or something. How did your story start?
Oh, well, we all have different musical backgrounds.
Well, I'd hope so. There's four of you.
Yeah.
Unless you're all siblings, then that doesn't make any sense. But let's see. JT, you're the one that started up first. Why don't you tell us about you?
Oh, I started in concert music when I was in the third grade, and I stuck with it all through high school. I was pretty good at that, and then I picked up a guitar my senior year and started a band with the drummer Brett Keith, and it was kind of all downhill from there. I started singing out of necessity. So.
Out of necessity? Was somebody poking you with a hot stick?
No, we had a guitar player that was a douche.
I see. So you just had to step in and do it.
Yeah. We were just starting out. We didn't really know how to run a band yet, so we were young kids, man.
Well, just out of high school, everybody's that way.
Heck yeah.
We were in high school when that started.
Oh, so you're going back even further. So, JT, that was you and Brett, you said, right?
Yeah.
And the other guys just came along from a Craigslist ad, or how did the other guys get in there?
No, I got into music at 9 when I heard the Beatles. That's when my whole life went down that route.
And who is this, just to verify for all
Chris.
Listeners? That was Chris. Okay, Chris. So you got abducted by the Beatles, you said.
Pretty much. My plan was to become president of the United States and be a politician, but then I heard the Beatles and I said, no, I'd rather be a musician.
You know, we could do a whole podcast on just that.
It's a long story. That was just the cliff notes.
Well, since there's four of you, I appreciate it, but maybe we'll have you back again next time and you can tell us about that. Really, president.
Oh, yeah.
And the Beatles changed that. Wow. That's definitely a story I'd like to get into later. So that was Chris. Who haven't we heard from? Joe?
Yep.
So, Joe, how did you get your love of music started?
Well, my grandfather, he's been playing guitar for about 40 years, so I just grew up around someone playing guitar all the time, so I decided to pick it up myself.
Now, you say your grandfather, was he just a hobbyist around the house, or did he actually go around and play with people?
Yeah, he actually went around and did some gigs back in his heyday.
Would we know him? What's his name?
His name's Dan.
Dan, just Dan.
Yeah. He,
you know, kind of like a predecessor to Cher. Or Madonna. Well, I want to take a stab in the dark and say that his last name was Barry, but I don't know how good I'm going to get.
Yeah, not very far on that one.
I didn't think so. So, what was his last name? Dan what?
Henderson.
Dan Henderson. Well, I'm not personally familiar with him, but was he in any bands that our listeners might recognize or at least be able to Google?
Not really that I know of. He used to just play around Palm Springs at the bars and whatnot.
Oh, so he was more of a local popular guitarist around the area.
Yeah, he's just a cool cat that everyone went and saw play.
And you know what? Sometimes those people are better than the big names.
Oh, man.
Because they have a lot more heart to it.
Yeah, they feel it out more and people really get more in tune with the music, so...
I couldn't have said it better. Very true. Very true. So that's how you guys all started with your love for music. And JT, you said you picked up a guitar. Chris, what about you? What instrument did you pick up?
Well, I was 9. I got my guitar, and I'm a multi-instrumentalist, and I've been playing music for over 13 years now. So guitar and piano are my main instruments and vocals that I do, especially in this band also.
I see on the Reverb Nation page, which will be listed in the show notes for the listeners, that you're listed under guitars and keys.
Yes, I do bass too. Me and Joe, we trade off bass and guitar sometimes, but mostly guitar and keys and vocals is what I do in the band.
We're already writing for second album, and we plan to be switching around the instruments quite a bit, kind of like the Eagles used to do.
It's fun. It's like, why not? Why do you have to stick to one instrument if you can play multiple instruments? It's art, you know. You should
absolutely
never...
It keeps it interesting not only for you as the players, but also for your fans and the listeners.
Exactly. And we're trying to teach Brett how to play another instrument other than drums, but it's not looking very good right now.
every member of the band, with the exception of Brett, is a multi-instrumentalist, and Brett got his start in concert music as well. He was a hell of a percussionist, and he was on, like, some big, like, drum team or something like that in Michigan.
Well, Brett, why don't you tell us about this drum team in Michigan?
Well, there's a drum line known as Motor City Percussion that's based out of Detroit. And we've gotten bigger since I've been in it. It's, you know, it's a fun thing that you do when you have nothing else to do.
Well, I guess there's not much to do in Michigan then.
No.
Except walk around and play the drums.
Yeah. Some people pick up other instruments. Some people pick up drugs. I picked up drums. So.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And in actuality, the drums is a very elaborate piece of equipment, because it's not just banging on the skin of a drum, but it's also the cymbals and the cowbell and the bass. And I'm running out of other ideas there, but yeah. You get the picture.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely an instrument that a lot of people think I somehow managed to do. I'm not the most coordinated person, but somehow I pull off playing the drums.
you bring up something that's very interesting. A lot of percussionists that I've known through the years are very awkward and strange people outside, but behind their drums, they're some of the best and nicest people I've ever met. So maybe you should just stay behind the drums there, Brett.
That's what I've been told.
Brett is the anti-rock star.
Yeah, but the drums keep everybody together, let's face it.
Oh, heck yeah, we love Brett, man. He's probably... he's the most likable person in the band, man. Like, he's the type of guy that you just kind of get to talking to after a gig, and he'll keep you, like, in conversation for, like, 20, 30 minutes.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So you must be, like, a walking wealth of information.
No.
No, you're just an interesting conversationalist.
Not like that.
I don't know. Just good conversationalist, I guess.
Well, you're heating it up right now. You're talking my ear off there, Brett. In fact, I wish you would shut up.
Damn it.
We tell him that every single day, and he still won't get the picture.
Well, maybe someday he will.
We're hoping.
So I think we covered everybody as far as your instruments and how your love of music started. So now you mentioned, what was it, JT and Chris got together in high school with a band. No, I'm sorry, JT and Brett got together in high school with a band. How did the other two of you get involved, and how did Truth and the Lies come to fruition?
Do you want to start this one, Jay, and then when you guys come in the picture, we can...
Start. I can actually simplify this quite a bit. Brett and I started in our senior year in high school, and the band that we started dissolved, and we started another small one, and after that dissolved because we weren't together for a while. I kind of toured with some other bands and stuff like that and got into production, and Brett kind of played around with other bands and stuff, and I moved to California from Detroit. And after that, we started Truth and the Lies after we got a recording deal. And
so that was you and Brett then?
Yeah, that was Brett and I. And then eventually, you know.
Well, I came in the band. I was getting ready to start recording my second solo album called Child of War.
And this is Chris?
Yeah, this is Chris.
All right, just making sure for our listeners not to get confused.
Yeah, this is Chris.
And I don't want to get confused either.
I was getting ready to start working on my second album, Child of War, and me and my drummer, we put an ad on Craigslist looking for more musicians, and so, you know, we were feeling good about it, so we're like, you know, let's go to the bar and get a drink and just talk about, like, what our plans are, and that night they had karaoke, and I happened...
Only that night they had karaoke?
But only that night. That was what was weird. It was at Buffalo Wild Wings, and they never have karaoke. And for some reason, they had karaoke that night, and we ended up going to that bar. And I sing a lot of Zeppelin because I have a very high voice. And I sang Black Dog, and I had Brett at the time, and he kind of like waved me over. And I came up, and him and JT were sitting there. And
he was hammered.
I was hammered, but man, I can sing like an angel still. And and I came up and I said, they asked me if I wanted to join a band. And I said, well, you know, we can have a meeting, we'll talk and stuff. And then they took me to McDonald's the next morning. And my first reaction was kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this because I feel like classier would have been having it at like Starbucks or something. But they had it at McDonald's. I was like, all right, I'll see about this band. I don't feel good about them.
Yeah, but the food is better at McDonald's than it is at Starbucks.
Exactly, and now I've been stuck in this band for a year now.
See what McDonald's can get you into?
And then, this is Joe, by the way. And,
hi, Joe, by the way.
After they picked up Chris, because me and Chris go back, you know, our high school days. We've been friends for quite a while now. And they were looking for a bass player, and Chris was like, I know someone, and they came to me. And this time... we had a meeting at Starbucks.
I made that happen.
Chris made sure that we had a meeting at Starbucks and sat down, talked it out.
Well, he just wants a higher class of people, that's all.
Exactly.
That's why he went to me.
I see.
Someone's conceited.
Only someone. So this is interesting. We've got JT and Brett that were friends in high school across the country, and then we get Chris and Joe together who were friends across the country in high school.
Yep.
So it's kind of a strange twosome foursome thing going on there.
Right?
So you finally got the Starbucks and you finally got the band together, and you said the name had already been selected. You guys chose that already?
Brett and I chose Truth and the Lies as kind of a concept. And at that point, we were using studio musicians and stuff like that were friends of mine. And... you know, I decided at one point that I really actually wanted to get an actual band together, guys that would actually work as a whole and kind of feel the music out and really get attached to it, because studio musicians are great, but at the end of the day, it's hard for them to have feeling when they're playing one person's music when they're playing for tons of people, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's all they do all day long is basically, well, I don't want to say sight read, but they don't spend a lot of time with the music as to feel it and get it into their bodies. They just read it off the paper.
Yeah, you know, and some of the best musicians I know are studio musicians. I worked myself as a studio musician before I got this band together. before I met Chris and Joe. And they're some of the hardest working people that I know. But Joe and Chris, just we get along great, you know.
Well, that's always something that's important when you have a band, especially when there's only four of you.
Yeah, it's free. It's
road trips are fun.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm sure they are. In fact, speaking of road trips, do you guys have cars, or do you have a truck or a van, or how do you transport all those the four of you and your equipment?
We have the Stallion Mobile. It's a big expedition. It's mine. That's pretty
much an expedition. Now that's a car.
Yeah, it's pretty much the Truth and Lies Mobile, you know.
With a trailer.
Long as it gets you from A to B and back again, that's all that matters.
Kinda.
It eats money and carbon monoxide.
And she's dying slowly, so we're trying.
Oh, we have a big trailer that we stick all of our equipment in because a lot of the stuff that we play live, our live show is extremely technical, so we require a lot of equipment. And we need a trailer to haul everything around, so...
Well, as from my experience, most bands do, whether they're high-tech or not. They always have a large thing behind them or sent ahead of them just to keep their frontage up, their style.
It's all the drums. That's one thing that I hate about being a drummer is all the lugging of equipment, I'll be honest. Oh,
yeah. Well, it's not as easy as a harmonica. Or a kazoo.
Kazoos are awesome.
There aren't enough songs with harmonicas anymore.
Not anymore. They're all from the turn of last century.
I know, yep. Right?
Well, unless you get into the blues, but that's something entirely different.
I love the blues, man. Blues that's what I'm all about.
Yep. The blues is an amazing style of music. I will say that.
Oh, yeah.
So now let's talk about the title of the band. JT and Brett, you said you had thought of it as a working title almost. How did you guys sit down and come up with those, what is that, four words?
Truth and the Lies. I want it's the concept of the music that we play and the music that we recorded. Our live show contrasts to the album that we're releasing, and we put on a really intense show, and we try to keep the album as listener friendly as possible, which is why when you listen to the demo, there was such a variety of music. But at the end of the day, when you listen to it, you know that it's us. You know, and Truth and the Lies kind of feeds on that concept, the black and the white. You know, you heard the album and you love the album, but people come to see us at shows and people tell us that it was one of the best shows that they've ever seen. We put so much energy into it, and all of us put a lot of work into being a master of our instrument and our craft and our niche in the band.
And that's very admirable of you.
Yeah.
Very admirable.
Truth and the Lies is that thing, you know. We want our fans to always know that it's us, but we never want them to go in expecting something. All they know is that they're going to get a good show, you know, they know that they're going to get a good recording, you know, Truth and the Lies.
So now, would you say it's your live performances are different than what's recorded? So when they do go to these live shows, that they're not they get the same song, but they're not entirely sure how it's going to, well, dare I say, play out?
Yeah, no, it's
not on a bad scale at any means, but it's like with any great musician that you see, like, you know, you listen to their album and the album is amazing. That's why you love them. But when you go see them live, it's a completely new experience.
It's, honestly, I'm not trying to compare, but I honestly think a lot of it's like Kiss almost. Like, you love the album stuff, but I mean, when you go to the show, it's like, whoa, it's like a whole nother experience. Because like we said, there's a lot of studio musicians on the album, and me and Joe are not those studio musicians, so when me and Joe are in the band, it makes the band completely different live than you're gonna hear on the record, you know. So the record sounds beautiful and I love the record, but live is like a whole nother experience.
The music that I chose for the album, because I write dozens of songs a month, it's my job, but I write dozens of songs a month, and I chose the ones for this upcoming album because I felt that they were extremely listener friendly, and from a musician's perspective, they're so open to interpretation based off of who comes and plays. That's why I invited some of the people to write songs with me and perform on the album, like Adrian Terrazas from the Mars Volta, one of the greatest sax players, you know, in the world. And he came into the studio and the music was so open to interpretation, he was able to lay down the songs in 3 or 4 takes.
Now that's remarkable. That's remarkable. And back to the difference between the album and the live performances, I happen to totally agree with you, gentlemen. That's the reason why people pay the money they do to go to the concerts.
Exactly.
Because if it was the same thing that was on the album, well, then why go to the concert?
Exactly.
Absolutely. And now that we've spoken so much about your music, why don't we try to hear some of it? Let's go into one of your samples that you sent over. Let's tell us about Head Rush.
Oh man.
Head Rush.
And one of the session musicians we worked with was a guy named James Duncan, and he was a heck of a guy, and he had a family and everything. We wrote this. We had a show coming up, and at this point in the band, Jim hadn't learned all of the music yet, so we needed to fill a couple more minutes of slot time before our show at the House of Blues. So I said, okay, we'll do something really fast. We'll do like a 1.5-minute, like just in your face thing to really get people going and milk it, kind of like really big arena bands do. They'll do like a jam, or Muse. Muse is so great at that. But I thought of like a really simple riff, and I showed it to them, and they picked it up immediately. And we actually wrote Head Rush in, what, 1.5 hours?
Yeah, if that.
Yeah. So Head Rush was written in 1.5 hours, and we laid it down at Love Juice Labs with Dave Swanson, who's an amazing producer. What you hear is what you get. There was very little post-production work done on the recordings. I used tons of pedals and stuff like that. I really wanted to milk my pedal board for all of the weird sounds that I could get out of it. So it's an awesome song.
Well, I think that's a great introduction to this song, so we're going to roll right into it now.
Heck yeah.
Say your influences are. I mean, you threw some band titles around. Some I recognize, some I didn't recognize. In your youth of growing up and learning your instruments and honing your craft, who have you looked up to? Who have you maybe emulated or idolized? Who have been your influences?
We'll let Chris go first on this one, man.
Well, I pretty much. My mother took me to D.C. when I was 9, and like I said, I was really passionate about history and becoming the president and all that, you know, unhappy nonsense. And I grew up in a very sheltered Christian home, so I was never allowed to listen to secular music, even oldies. It was only Christian, so I didn't even know other music in life existed. other than Christian. And so,
well, it makes sense that when you heard the Beatles, you didn't know what to do with yourself.
Exactly. I mean, the first band I ever got into, the first band I ever heard that wasn't Christian was the Beach Boys, and I got into that band and then got into the Monkees. And then that's when I went to DC, and my aunt asked me if I ever heard the Beatles, and I said no. And she said, well, there's a red CD with a yellow one on the cover of it. You should listen to it, and it's the greatest hits of theirs. The very first song was Love Me Do, and it was like an instant epiphany the moment I pressed play and I heard the very first note of that song. I said, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And
that first harmonica song, that first harmonica note, right?
Yep.
That yeah. Just, I'm mean, familiar with that song.
Yeah, you know, so I've been a 13-year working rock and roll musician ever since, especially since I was the kid who had to hide Led Zeppelin CDs under my pillow.
All right, so that was Chris. Why don't we hear from someone else?
Well, this is Brett. Originally, when I got into music, I was much into jazz, and Buddy Rich was a very very influential drummer on me, just from watching him play to how he played.
And, he's an amazing drummer. Absolutely amazing drummer.
Absolutely amazing. And I read a biography on him, and it's just crazy how he started when he was 6 months old from just being in the show business. But as I grew into, you know, being a drummer, I grasped on to different drummers. And one band that my dad was heavily, like, into was Rush. And, you know,
there's another whole unique and distinct sound to their band.
They're going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Finally.
That's true. That's true. Congratulations for them.
Neil Peart, even though a lot of people say, oh, he's my influence, he's my favorite drummer, it's just like, you know, they don't understand, like, he is one of the best, most amazing drummers I personally think that have ever lived, personally. But, you know, everybody has their own opinion. And then when
makes him your idol. That makes him your hero. That makes it a lot more unique to yourself, and not everybody is after him.
Exactly.
Human, man.
One of the things once I finally started, like, branching out into new music, Travis Barker, you know, it originally wasn't my style of music. You know, I'm not big into the punk scene, but, you know, he's just so versatile. It's uncanny. That is an unhuman dude.
That's why they call him the octopus, because when if you watch videos, his hands move so fast, you could just see like the four
drumsticks.
Yeah, you can see like drumsticks look like he has like four arms because he's playing so fast. That's why they call him the octopus, man.
Yep. Yeah. And that's one thing I bring into my live show is on top of just performing the song correctly, it's grooving to the song and moving my body while I play. And when we first started, you know, stage presence was something we had to work on, and everybody was just like, Brett, you got enough stage presence, but you got to work on the faces you make.
Well, you're concentrating on hitting the right drums at the right time. That makes sense on the faces you'd make. But it's all about showmanship and stage presence, absolutely, because going back to live concerts versus albums, that's the reason people go. They want to see the energy. They want to see the different people on the stage doing their thing.
That's the thing. It's like we go on stage and you know it's us. You know, we like how many bands do you know play the type of music that we do and put on the type of show that we do, and we walk out on stage in black suits and white suits. You know, we think it always really gets the audience like, oh, who are these guys? You know?
Yeah, that was something that was always interesting to me when JT first proposed the idea of, hey, let's play in suits and on stage. Me being a drummer, I'm like, are you crazy? That's gonna be hot as.
I got the idea from Kiss, man. Like, I got the idea for the black and white from Kiss, and the white stripes do it so well. I want to take it to the next level eventually, though. Like, I imagine, like,
leather and spikes and Nine Inch Heels.
Well, that sounds like you're going to change the image of the band.
Oh, check this out, man. Imagine this. Okay, when we play in black and white suits. You know what I mean?
So like like the Men in Black apps, kind of.
Yeah, we're three-piece suits. All of us are wearing three-piece suits. I dress in a white suit. The guys dress in a black suit or sometimes a white suit, right? And all of our merchandise and all of our websites are all in black and white. You know, we really try to deliver the concept of monochrome and division and two sides to everything.
We dress more classy than business-like. So, I mean, like, when you look at us and we're walking down the street, it's more like back in the day when, like, the appeal that Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack, gave to us, rather than the Men in Black, like
those
you
guys
said.
Are rock.
I get you now. I see. The old classic style gentleman's look.
We're all classic guys. That's pretty much it. We're all classic, classy guys.
Yeah, we like to carry ourselves with class as much as possible. I mean, we like to party, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you have a lot of class, just make sure it's not third. So I do want to get back to finding out the idols and influences from the two remaining members, and if my memory serves, I think we haven't heard from Brett, and no, but we did hear from Brett on the drums.
Yep. We need Joe.
And are we only missing Joe?
Joe and JT.
Joe and JT. All right. Well, Joe, you go first.
Well, my influences, I grew up on like Metallica. You know, the old thrash metal.
So you had the heavier style background than the other gentleman with the jazz and the Buddy Rich.
Yeah, and you know, I love classic rock too. Like one of my idols for the guitar is Steve Morris. He's one of the guitarists in Deep Purple, and I actually had the opportunity to see him down in Palm Springs at some rink-a-dink bar.
Hmm.
He was playing with Albert Lee, Steve Lukather from Toto, and it was just a bunch of monstrous musicians getting together and jamming. There's all of about 50 people there.
Oh, that must have been something to see.
Oh, yeah.
A small venue with all those high-end classic musicians?
Oh, yeah. I was standing like 2-3 feet away from them. You know, you're right there, and it's just so intimate and so cool. It was an awesome experience.
I'll bet. So that was your influences. JT, what about you now?
Oh, man. I grew up in the hood in Detroit, and I spent most of my life all the way up until my junior year in high school listening to gangster rap and R&B, and that was my life. My cousins were a really big, famous R&B family in the 80s. And I was just immersed in R&B from a really young age. So I didn't start listening to rock music until my junior year when I moved out and went to a lighter colored neighborhood.
I understand what you're saying.
And I heard rock and roll, man. I listened to I think Jet was one of the first bands that I heard because I was listening to rock radio for the first time. And Maroon 5, I was really into that commercial sound. And my tastes have obviously changed. And I've been a concert, as I said, I've been a concert musician since I was very young. So I've been immersed in music my whole life.
But the R&B is where your influences first started.
Oh, yes, definitely. Without a doubt. It's a huge part of everything that I do musically. From the way that I play the guitar to the way that I play the piano and I sing, you know, it's everything. The way that I write, it's all influenced by R&B. It's just a part of who I am. It's my soul, you know.
And now talking about writing, speaking of writing, when you guys get together and write the songs, I heard somebody earlier say that they write songs all the time. I think it was Chris. Am I wrong on that?
Both of us. JT mentioned it, but me and JT do a lot of...
Well, that's my question, is who writes the songs? Who sits down and writes the songs? And because I'm assuming everybody gives their influence.
I wrote this whole first album over the course of my time in California for the past 4 years.
4 years now.
So, yeah, I've been working on this album for 4 years.
But now that he has a partner in crime for the new album, we're pretty much trying to be like the next Lennon McCartney.
Yeah, Chris sings lead vocals live and shares lead vocals on other songs that aren't on the first album, and it's another huge part of our live show. We're a very
diverse
band. I was talking about my R&B influence. Chris's voice is so rock and roll, man.
Hmm.
We do a cover of Helter Skelter by the Beatles. That is just so hi-fi in your face.
Yeah, I'm like a Robert Plant singer. We actually do a lot of Zeppelin, and I do all the singing for that. But I'm just like a really high rock and roll singer.
Where people and Mark our words, we'll say this now: we are doing everything within our power and really, really just trying to get our fans to love us because we want to be the next Lennon McCartney.
Would you like to hear a sample?
Well, of course I would.
Oh, no.
Black Dog, do it.
Go ahead. If it's Black Dog, I would really appreciate it.
This is Chris.
I don't.
All right. You can do it.
Hey, mama said the way you move, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
That works for me. Give him a round of applause, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, I had
a show last night, so I have, like, no voices.
Well, that happens to the best of us.
Chris came into the band, as he said before, working on his own albums and material, just as I had done before I'd gotten Truth and the Lies together. We're truly a division of a band. You know, we have two lead singers. We have tons of multi-instrumentalists. The possibilities for us are endless.
And we are all learning new instruments, which is just going to expand on all of our, you know, abilities.
And it's
going to
make you a lot more unique in the realm of other bands.
Yeah, I mean, the executive producer for our album, David Longoria, the album that we're releasing, David Longoria, he's worked with Sting. He has gold and platinum records.
Wow, that's well, congratulations on working with him.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest trumpet players in the world.
Him and Robert Ibach have really been mentors. Robert Ibach is amazing. He's worked with the producer for the album and the engineer. He's worked with T.I., Korn.
David Longoria's studio, Del Oro Records, is where the album is recorded.
And David Longoria's single right now is number 35 on Billboard dance charts right now.
Yeah. And wasn't he number 3 in India
or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think in India he was on the top, in number 3, if I was correct.
Yeah. So Del Oro is really doing some damage. And we have that. That's what this album. Who this album is done with, you know. Not to mention the Grammy winning saxophonist Adrian Terrazas. Man, that guy is just freaking amazing. He's on the album. My cousin Chico DeBarge. His album was released last year. He did a single with Talib Kweli, who I think they got a BET award for that, a music award for that. But yeah, these are all people that have contributed to this album.
Because they believe in the project.
Well, that's just absolutely remarkable, gentlemen. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man.
My pleasure. In fact, why don't we listen to another song of yours? This one is Hunger. Tell our listeners a little bit about this song.
Hunger.
Oh, that's where that song gets just jammy and psychedelic.
on this playing bass on this song is a friend of mine, Josh Gonzalez, who's one of the best session bassists in Los Angeles. He's worked with tons of big name people, and I wrote this bass line myself, and I took it to Josh, and we worked together before in studio and stuff. I said, I want this to get your flavor, but I want that dancing feeling to be there, but it's so open to your interpretation. So he played it on a fretless bass.
Wow.
Beautiful. Sounds beautiful.
Yeah. It's, I was trying to go for that whole sexy thing, you know what I mean? And Chris's background vocals really added a lot of flavor to it. You know, we really tried to, the harmonies, at a certain portions of the song are, 3-octave harmonies. So, we sung an A note in 3 different octaves,
are
which is really cool.
On that?
Huh? Mm. Oh yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, so, I don't really listen to the demo.
It's a sexy song.
You're out there playing live.
Yeah. when you have to play the music and stuff, you tend not to really just listen to it on your free time.
Which is the fun part about the live show. Like we said, you know, we like to change it. And when we play it live, it's insanely groovy and it just works well.
Absolutely. So we're going to take it to Hunger right now.
Yep.
Everything that a hungry woman needs.
And that was Hunger. We have Truth in the Lies with us today, and for those who may have skipped ahead and just are tuning in now, it's JT, Chris, Brett, and Joe.
Yeah. Woo!
Now, I do have a question about songwriting. Where do your let's face it, songs are basically stories or poems or tales or something along those lines. Where do your stories, where do your songs come from? What inspires you to sit down and say, I want to write about this?
Oh, for me, I try to... John Mellencamp, I think, is really good at this. He wrote his songs so that they were relatable to any person that listened to it in their own way, you know, and I try to write my songs with that, you know, with that in mind. I think it's what makes it so relatable for everyone else, you know.
This is Chris. I think my approach on things is like Lennon says, it's just real. It's just me. And if my songs work for people's interpretations, like if I'm talking about my feelings on something and somebody listening to my songs, you know, wow. Because, I mean, we all can agree. Every time you listen to a song and it's just, there's a song that hits you and the lyrics are just speaking to you like they wrote that song for you. Like, you know, that whole, you know, stereotype when you break up with your girlfriend and then all that sick love 80s music comes on. It's just like, you know, that typical stuff like that. I think.
And speaks to the heart.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that before.
I just write about my personal spiritual relations, with how everything comes together. I talk about, you know, relationship problems. We all have them. I just talk about things that are real and that, you know.
So for you, it's more of a life experience retelling than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about the songs that just come from, you know, something being good? Like, let's say there's a movie that you see and it just or another song that you hear that really starts to inspire you. Let's say the song is about blue clouds and all of a sudden you're like, I've got to write about blue clouds. But you have no experience with blue clouds.
That's how I write. Movies are my greatest inspiration for the songs that I write. The album from beginning to end tells a story. It's about a person that is just feels like they're under control and then they finally break free and realize that they were angry, and the story just goes on to a climax, and then it ends with the person just saying, I'm tired, you know? I try to tell stories with every song that I write.
Well, and making the album a full story with all the songs involved will actually increase the purchase of the albums and not just the individual tracks.
That is our hope. We wanted to give a person a full product. The album is 14 tracks long, so it's you really get the bang for your buck when you're purchasing the album. But Chris writes his music the same way and his album the same way. He tells a story from beginning to end.
Yeah, I mean,
his Beatles influence.
Yes, exactly. Mine's pretty much on just like personal experience, because my idea on life is, you know, experience is knowing and knowing is experiencing.
Very eloquently put.
Yeah, I'm a big philosophical kind of guy. I'm a psychology major, or was. I'm not taking school this semester because I have no time, but I'm trying to major in psychology right now, so I'm just really big in that. And I'm a spiritual Taoist, which is I live by three rules, which is compassion, moderation, humility. And my job on this earth is to fill the earth with positive energy, and that's all I can do.
Well, that is quite an undertaking, and my hat's off to you.
To you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And now, listen to this. Hello, listeners. It's little old me again, with a word or three from our sponsors. And you might be asking yourself, who would sponsor this show? Well, the Random Variety Show is supported by people like you, the listener. And we've got a plethora of ways that you can support the show. One of the easiest ways is to visit randomvarietyshow.com and click on our Amazon link, located on the left-hand sidebar. Be sure to save it as your favorites or bookmark it for future use. Now, go ahead and make all your purchases on Amazon just as you usually would. And if you've ever shopped or searched through Amazon before, you know that they can have just about everything under the sun on Amazon. In fact, you might even find an Amazon at Amazon. And usually everything's available at below retail prices, with reasonable to no shipping fees. Remember, with every purchase you make through our link, you support the show. You see, pennies for every dollar spent come back to help to continue to provide you with this unique and remarkable program. Another way for you to provide support would be with a direct donation through our donate button located at, well, yeah, you guessed it, randomvarietyshow.com. For the price of a few gallons of gas, you can help support the show. And lastly, if you or your friends enjoy audiobooks or audio entertainment in general, then audible.com is the place for you. With over 100,000 titles of books, magazines, radio shows, and stand-up comedy to choose from, I guarantee you'll find something for everyone. And for listeners of the Random Variety Show, Audible is offering you a free title of your choosing just for trying their service for 30 days. Visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow right now to take advantage of this wonderful offer. And now, Charlie, give our listeners a suggestion or two from these 100,000 titles available.
Thanks, Groucho. My Audible suggestions this episode are One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the 50th Anniversary Edition, read by John C. Reilly. For those listeners that don't know John C. Reilly by name, he played the husband in the movie Chicago. He's an award-winning stage actor. I have never seen a poor performance from him. He's just phenomenal. I haven't had a chance to listen to this, but this is on my to-get list because of those two things. The classic tale of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and the narration by John C. Reilly. My second suggestion is Winnie the Pooh, A.A. Milne's Pooh Classics, Volume 1, narrated by Peter Dennett. And who doesn't love Winnie the Pooh? This is on my to-get list for Drew when I start having him listen to more music and audio entertainment as he gets older. So those are my two suggestions, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Winnie the Pooh, A.A. Milne's Classic Pooh Tales, Volume 1. Back to you, Groucho.
Thanks, Charlie. So visit audibletrial.com/randomvarietyshow to get your free download right now. And if anybody asks, tell them Groucho sent you. Oh, and one last thing. Your name can be right here. Contact us at randomvarietyshow.com today. And now, back to the show. Well, we've just about reached that time where we bring in the Bernard Pivot questions. Yes, the Bernard Pivot question started in France by, well, with Bernard Pivot. But most of the American listeners are going to be more familiar with it from inside the actor's studio with James Lipton. 10 in-depth questions that he asks at the end of each interview. And we're going to, since there's four of you, we're going to cycle through each of you, and everybody's going to get a chance to answer. This first question is, what is your favorite word? JT, you're up first.
Oh, facetious.
Chris, what's your favorite word?
The.
All righty. And Brett, what's your favorite word?
Optimism.
And Joe, your favorite word?
Sandwich.
You gotta be different, don't you? All right. Well, Joe, you get to answer this next one first. What is your least favorite word?
Damn.
All right. JT, what is your least favorite word?
Ugly.
And Chris?
Penis.
All righty. Brett, what's your least favorite word?
Yellow.
All righty. The third question is, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? And Brett, you get the answer first.
Music.
And Joe, what turns you on? Creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
How about physically?
Well, that would make a whole different show.
Honestly, I'd have to go with Brett, music.
And JT, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Music and kindness, man.
Kindness, I like that one. I figured music would be a prominent one for all of you. And Chris, you're last on this. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Music and life.
All right, Chris, you get to answer this one first. What turns you off creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Ignorance.
And Brett, what turns you off?
Pessimism.
Joe?
People with bad attitudes.
And JT?
Laziness. Ugh, laziness. I hate laziness.
You know, the four of you just recapitulated most of our episodes from the past.
Really?
I believe all those answers have been used for that question in the past.
Wow.
Cool.
All right, JT, you get this next question. Some people really love this question. What is your favorite curse word? All righty. Chris, what's your favorite curse word?
Man.
I didn't know that was a curse word.
I guess I'm just a classic f***.
Alrighty, and Brett, what's your favorite curse word? And lastly, Joe.
It's the best one.
Alright, Joe, you get to answer this one first. What sound or noise do you love?
A pig squeal.
JT, what sound or noise do you love?
Oh, rain.
Chris?
No. I'd have to say the beach, man. Just the sound of the waves.
The
just
waves crashing upon the beach?
Yeah, you know when you're at the beach, when you just everything's silent and you just hear the beach, man. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, Brett, what sound or noise do you love?
The wind.
All right, Brett, you get to answer this one first. What sound or noise do you hate?
Alarm clocks.
And Joe, what sound or noise do you hate?
Squeaking of doors.
And JT?
Wheezing.
Like an asthmatic?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you don't get any asthmatics at your concert. And Chris, what sound or noise do you hate?
My ex.
Anything she says? The next question, Chris, you get to answer this one first. What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
Spiritual psychology.
And Brett, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
A cook.
Joe?
A lawyer.
And JT?
I don't know. Stripper. I don't know. I can't imagine doing anything other than music, man. I just haven't really ever thought about it. I don't have an answer for that one.
You couldn't even make something up.
You want... Oh, okay. I can make something up? Superhero.
Well, it's not the ideal solution, but it'll work.
Superhero, for sure.
Well, if you had enough money, you could become Batman.
Right?
Yeah.
Or Iron Man.
All right, JT, you get to answer this one first. What profession would you not like to do?
God.
I didn't know that was a profession.
It is to some.
Well,
that's true.
Some researcher like in Antarctica or something like that, you're all alone and it's cold and it sucks.
Yeah, that's not anything high on my list, even as a disembodied voice. And Chris, what profession would you not like to do?
A fluffer.
All righty then. And Brett?
A plumber.
And Joe?
Oh, fast food worker.
We love all of our fast food worker fans.
Yeah, you better be careful now.
Disclaimer. We love everybody, man. We love everybody. We are very three members of this band are sarcastic.
And the other one is serious? All right, we're at the last question, gentlemen. And Joe gets to answer this one first. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
All you can smoke.
JT?
Oh, man. Whew. Oh, there is a... I just want to see here... I want him to point me in the direction of all the musicians and stuff, you know?
The ballroom's over here. And Chris, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Welcome to f***ing heaven, bro.
And lastly, Brett.
Didn't think this was real, did you?
You know, between all four of you, I think we've heard all the answers at least once before. Because you guys went pretty well on those answers there.
Thank you.
Well, now it's a chance for you to tell our listeners how they can find more information about Truth and the Lies on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah, man. We love what you do. Your show's amazing.
Thank you.
You can find us at facebook.com/truthandthelies music, and you can also find us on reverbnation.com/truthandthelies.
Oh, by the way, we support the Cotton
Rock. We are currently building our website, so it'll be available on all of our sites as soon as it's completed. And yeah, that's pretty much the best way to get a hold of us.
So Facebook and Reverb Nation.
Yes. Yeah, for right now that would be the best to get a hold of us.
Alrighty then, that's definitely the best way for the listeners to find you, and I'll make sure that Charlie has that in the show notes for them too.
Sweet. And we'd like to thank everybody that contributed to the Kickstarter fund for our website, which will be available soon, so stay updated at our Facebook and stuff for that information.
And is there any other last words from anybody else?
We actually just made a promotional video. And it's on YouTube, and we constantly update it on Facebook. So have people check out the promotional video to kind of like show. It kind of shows I put it together for us. It kind of shows everybody who we are. It shows us on our very first tour we just did this summer, or throughout the U.S. And it kind of just shows footages of live concerts at the Viper Room, and our song Contender is on it. It's a really cool video. It's really funny, and it's fast moving, and it's good pace. So we constantly update, so tell people to check out the promotional video for Truth and the Lies.
Our album, The Dividing Line, is actually being released this December, and then our EP is going to be released within the next month, and you'll also be able to catch our music video for our single Brainwashed in November.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Thank you.
And now we're going to send this back to Charlie and let him edit it up. Especially with all those beeps he's going to have to put in.
Rock and roll.
Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it, guys. It was a pleasure to talk with you. It was fantastic. Groucho had a great time. It was fun to edit. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I apologize again for the tardiness of the episode, but you guys are such great sports. Thank you so much. So listeners, go to randomvarietyshow.com, look at the show notes for this episode. It has links to their Reverb Nation, their Facebook, their Twitter, and their YouTube. Go out and support these guys, especially if you're in Southern California. Now, to recap the interview, let's see. JT's favorite curse word was, we'll say the C word. Kind of rhymes with the football term punt. Chris is the beautiful and wonderful always F word, fooey. Brett is the second standby to that one, and that's fecal matter. And Joe, just being a little different than the rest of everybody, he went with a slang term for the female anatomy. And in fact, many people will have this around their house. I have a couple pussy cats. So that was Joe's word. And just as a frame of reference for all the dates and times they mentioned, that was December 2012 and then November 2012. Again, thanks, guys. Listener feedback time. It's a chance for me to give back to you because you've been giving it to me for the last 2 weeks. This listener feedback is probably going to be real quick and short, mostly because I haven't had a chance to be on Twitter or Facebook as frequently as I would like. Thank you all so much for all the retweets. This is going off the top of my head. Thomas Jackson Jr., Corey Evil 2013, The Half Scoop, Two Funny Girls, Cranky Mom of Two, Creatin' Sparks, Ed Wallach, Don't Quit Your Daycast, Mark Hershon of Succotash Podcast, at Barrel House Red Tom, thank you so much. Jared Weintraub and Brandon Hinson, thank you all so, so much. There's just so many people out there, and I try to keep up with you. Thank you all so, so much for retweeting and spreading the word. But really, the biggest listener feedback I want to give goes to some close friends of ours, Travis and Allie, and they're fans of the podcast. They've been listening probably since middle of last year, and I know with their lives, they got a one-year-old, so they don't get a chance to listen to all the episodes, and I can understand that, not to worry. But being that they're friends of ours, we met up for lunch and had a wonderful, wonderful lunch. It was great to see them again and hang out. I haven't done that in a long time, or at least as frequently as we all would like. For those longtime listeners, you'll know that Travis sent in a voicemail a few episodes back, so go back and listen for that. And I asked him, did he get the answer to his question on the voicemail? And he said, not yet. And I figured so much because there's just, you know, it takes a lot of time to sit down and listen. When you've got a, you know, school, work, and a family, I can dig that. And so I told him, you know, okay, well, good, you got to catch up on the episodes because the answer and some extra material is there as well. But that's not the point. What I really wanted to give feedback on is how both he and his wife, Allie, have brought in the RVSP slogan into almost their daily life. Travis had said, yeah, sometimes I'll walk up to her and I'll say, you know, there's no need to RSVP for the RVSP. And it was at that moment that I realized that doing this podcast out of the love of my heart was making it all worthwhile. So Travis, Allie, and other listeners that just don't have a chance to get me feedback, thank you all so, so much for listening and supporting the show. It means a lot more than I probably could ever express. So thank you all so much for everything that you do out there as listeners and supporters. Voicemail. Well, this episode we didn't get any voicemail, and that's okay. I understand. We're all kind of just getting our lives back on track from the way, you know, the holidays and into January and trying to plan on our goals for 2013. So, next episode, now is your time. Start calling 619-407-8770, and I'll play it on the episode. That's right, Drew. 619-407-8770. That's the voicemail line. And when you're older, you can call it too. Okay. Yeah, you can say that. Yeah. Sure. We can put that on the voicemail segment. Thanks. Well, we've reached that time again. I'd like to thank my guests for being on the show, the band The Truth and the Lies. Thank you, JT, Chris, Brett, and Joe. You guys were great. Thank you so much. Of course, Groucho, thank you for providing the interview. Drew, thank you for making so many background sounds while I recorded today. That was awesome. I'd like to thank the Pod Gods Network for replaying our show. I'd like to thank the WQ4D Radio Network at WQ4DRadio.com for playing our show every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern at WQ4DRadio.com. Please support the show by visiting randomvarietyshow.com and taking advantage of the Amazon, Audible, and direct donate buttons. Our guest for next episode is writer, filmmaker, and the director of the Damn Short Film Festival, John Labani. Sound effects for this episode of the Random Variety Show have been provided by GarageBand, Freesound.org, and myself. Of course, I'd like to thank all of you for downloading and listening to the show. Without you guys, I wouldn't be here doing it. Thank you, and thank you. You've been listening to the RVSP, the Random Variety Show podcast. Remember, there's no need to RSVP for the RVSP. This is Charlie Miller saying, 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 this is Charlie Miller and his son Drew saying, thanks for listening, folks. Have a good night. We'll see you next time, right, Drew?
Mr. Marks appears courtesy of the chaotic prattle and vibrations of Mr. Miller's larynx and the marvelous wizardry of the internet.